back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first 2 hours, that was some of the good stuff that you heard. It's all available on podcastarena.com. And we haven't gone through the NFL yet. We'll do that. A lot of people asking about tonight's game because the Cardinals, it's up to minus 10. There's no way I touch that. I did hit the Cardinals at 8. This has been my worst weekend in forever. So
I'm on over 49.
Don't mind that at all. So it's up to 50 now, by the way. Still like it. But
yeah.
Yeah, so if the Cardinals do not cover, it'll be my worst weekend in 3 years. But still very much up for the year, so not too worried about it. One game, though, I've already punched a ticket on. Pittsburgh plus 3 at home against North Carolina on Thursday. Home dog getting 3. Pittsburgh's a lot better than people give credit for. I know North Carolina's pretty good, too. But
That's actually going to be a really good game.
Yeah, it is. But essentially, they're, I mean, getting 3 points at home on a Thursday night, I'll take that every time when two teams I think are pretty much equal. All right, let's go through the league. We'll start off with the Sunday morning game, which I got up and watched on my laptop. The Jaguars.
Which, by the way, how obnoxious is that?
It is. And then,
do you really believe 15 million people got out their laptops and watched that? I don't.
I don't know.
15 million for a Bills Jags game at 8:30 in the morning?
Well, you got to figure there were a bunch of people in England doing it too. I mean, it's probably worldwide. It's not just U.S. You think about that.
Yeah.
People in Australia. People were stationed overseas.
Meh.
It wouldn't shock me. I thought the quality was kind of crappy. I kept getting a lot of bad streaming. But, you know, if E.J. Manuel could not turn the ball over, the Bills would
Manuel's
be pretty good.
He's donkey.
He is. Boy, he was just a mess. And then, of course, you give the Jags a big lead. Bills get back in it.
Yeah, the Jags didn't know how to handle having a big lead.
Well,
and they're like, oh, what do we do here?
Yeah, and you know Bortles is going to Bortles. He had to throw the pick six.
And then they give it back.
And then they give it back, yeah. So Jags win.
That's so Bills.
Yeah, indeed it is. All right, the Redskins-Buccaneers finish. Redskins win at 31-30. Boy, it's just two bad teams. And at least it was an exciting finish.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins, congratulations. He could have been, you know, it looked like maybe he was having one of those games where they were going to call Colt McCoy to get out there or something, and he ended up turning it around and actually had a pretty decent game by the time it was said and done. I felt bad a little for Tampa because they fought really hard. I thought they should have won that game. And
starting to see some flashes out of Jameis Winston, too. So
you like that? You like that?
Yeah, that's Kirk Cousins. He's jacked. That's like Philip Rivers level jacked.
You like that? You like that?
And he didn't curse. That's Philip Rivers light.
Falcons beat the Titans 10-7. This is one of the games I was wrong about because I had the Falcons to cover. They did not. They should have, but they did get the win. Not the prettiest game from the Falcons, but I give the Titans defense credit. They played pretty well.
Titans defense did play very well. Their offense is pretty awful. But the Falcons had a couple of goal line plays in the fourth quarter that, you know, I actually, when I first saw the Julio Jones catch, I thought he got in. And I guess he didn't, but that would have been the difference in them covering or not. And you know, I guess the refs didn't have the Falcons.
Some of us did,
but yeah, I mean, it was one of those games that if you're a good team, you're gonna have to win some ugly games like that. And you know, when you think about the Eagles game week one, you think about the Giants week two, they won a couple ugly games. And you know, for the most part, the Falcons. Listen, this team is not as good as their record says. They're 6-1, but they're nothing special. But they, you know, they found a way, and that's what really matters. And they kept pace with Carolina at least as much as they can.
Saints beat the Colts 27-21. Tried to save you money on that, but you wouldn't listen to me.
You did, yeah.
Andrew Luck is just turning the ball over at an alarming rate.
Andrew Luck's hurt, I think. I don't know if maybe the best thing to do is not to just sit that guy down for a couple weeks and let him get right. You know, but I guess they're leading the division. They got to run him out there. But, yeah, they fall to 3-4. Losing a game like that at home, that's not what the Colts have done for a long time. And that's a pretty embarrassing loss. And They actually, in the second half, looked like they were going to get back in there and actually win the game. I don't think the cover was ever in doubt, but I thought they were actually going to come back and win the game. And they ended up not being able to do that. They couldn't stop Mark Ingram is what it boiled down to. And Andrew Luck, like you said, just doesn't look like the same Andrew
and
Luck.
Really, that last third and three near the end of the game, Drew Brees just made a great pass to Marcus Colston.
Yep.
And to clinch the game. I really needed the Colts to score a touchdown to get the over, and the Saints still would have covered. But
Mark Ingram, 14 carries, 143 yards. Over 10 yards per carry. That's silly. I mean, that's people that are paid money to stop running backs. That's what they did on Sunday.
Yeah, you'd have to be Lamar Miller to do that. Vikings beat the Lions 28-19. Lions fire a bunch of people today in the wake of it. Vikings get the 4-2 and very solid performance from Teddy Bridgewater. Adrian Peterson with a kind of workmanlike effort, and big game for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that guy's a nice little player. What was he, a fifth-round pick, something like that? Yeah. He looks like he's working out, kid from Maryland. I don't have much to say about it. I think the Vikings, it's a good win for them. I don't think the Vikings are that great, but I think the Lions are a total clown show right now, and they're doing what a total clown show should do and firing everybody.
Wonder why that didn't happen here.
Yeah.
Chiefs beat the Steelers 23-13. They tried not to win this game, but Steelers just not enough offense with no Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, Chiefs are pretty much dead in the water, too, but at least they got to win.
This is the thing about that Steelers team. I think when they have Ben Roethlisberger, they're a good to very good team. Without him, they're kind of junky because everybody can pile up on Le'Veon Bell, and he still averaged 7 yards a carry yesterday. He had a good day. But their defense is just not very good, and it's long, sustained drives that wears down the defense. Luckily for them, the Chiefs are so horrific on offense that they rarely can punch it in.
Yeah, they had to keep settling for field goals.
But the Chiefs win games.
And when they get Roethlisberger back, though, the defense won't be on the field as much. And that's their recipe for winning. Rams beat the Browns 24-6. This is one of the few things I did right yesterday. I hit the Rams right at the last minute. How good is Todd Gurley right now?
Todd Gurley is a freak, man. That guy, and early in the game, he struggled. Like the first quarter, he couldn't really get going. But I think his yards per carry went from like quarter by quarter, went to from like 1.5 to 4.5 to 6.5 to 9 yards a carry in the fourth quarter. And when a guy's getting stronger as the game goes on, I mean, that's a hell of a day by that kid. And you know, we're talking about this guy. We still don't even know if he's 100% healthy yet. That, to me, that's one of those special running backs that comes along. And
If he can stay healthy. Which is going to be a question with him, I think, throughout his career.
Leonard Fournette may be that same way when he ever gets to the NFL. But Todd Gurley is a special player for sure.
The Patriots and the Jets in the game of the day. The Patriots win at 30-23, and I think the Jets proved something in that game because
the Jets are a good team.
They're a good football team, and sometimes the Patriots just say bleep you are going to win a certain way. 54 times they throw the football, they run it 9 times.
Yep.
Tom Brady is your leading rusher with 15 yards.
Yeah,
but he puts up 355 and 2 touchdowns, and that's the difference.
Yep, and defensively the Patriots played really well. Held
their defense is better than you give them credit for. I gotta say they scheme extremely well, and they game plan very well, all the things that the Texans wish they could do.
Well, they went all in to stop the run, which to me is, I mean, that's the way the Jets are going to beat you.
Right.
If Chris Ivory goes out and runs for 120, you're going to lose to the Jets. Instead, 29 carries for 89 yards for the Jets. You're not going to win professional football games like that. And you know, Fitzpatrick had a decent day, nothing special, but he didn't turn the ball over.
He kept him in the game.
He was solid.
He's protected the ball very well this year,
but
he really has.
Yeah, the Patriots just, they weren't going to lose. They and that's a game they could have easily lost and come back in the fourth quarter. And like, you thought that the Patriots were going to run down the clock and give the Jets a chance to get the ball back. Nope. Throw it in. Gronk, touchdown, game over. That's the other thing. Gronk is just he's too tough to cover for anybody. That's a good Jets defense, and Gronk just had his way.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll do the afternoon games when we come back, because I do think that Giants-Cowboys game needs a little more
attention. We need to get into some college football, too.
We will. We still got time.
I want to talk about Aggie and what's going on there.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Hey, boy, it is spinning out of control in a hurry. And, you know, just on social media alone, Aggie fans wondering if Kevin Sumlin's the right man for the job. They've lost two games, by the way. Let's not go crazy.
I think they're looking back to last year when they started off 5-0 and then pretty much fell apart.
Well, and I think they're also looking at what's going on with how they're handling these quarterbacks and you know, making promises and not keeping promises to recruits. It's getting ugly.
Well, and that's one of the things you get when you start recruiting all these five-star guys. You start making promises.
Yep.
Well, ask Mac Brown about that.
All right, guys. Fantasy football season is upon us. And if you haven't started using Sports Manias, I don't know what you're waiting on. Maybe you having to deal with a bunch of crap on game day for your fantasy football teams. You like digging through all these piles of information to find what's pertinent to you. You don't have to do that with Sports Manias. You go to the App Store. The app is free, by the way. Search for Sports Manias, one word, and it'll give you a leg up on your competition. It's very simple. You import your fantasy teams from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN. It's great for me because I've got leagues in all those formats. And it gives you personalized feeds from fantasy football experts, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones, real-time updates on your players and just your players, so you're not having to sift through all the stuff that doesn't matter to you. And it helps you make smarter lineup decisions. This app's helped me a lot. It's very easy to navigate, very user-friendly, and it's basically a new tool that's going to give you an edge. And any edge you can get in fantasy football is a good one. Get on your cell or tablet right now. Go to the App Store, download Sports Manias for free. Do it right now, Sports Manias.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Finish off these games, and we'll get some college football. Raiders beat the Chargers 37-29. It was a very, not yesterday's Texan team, but like a lot of the Texans games this year where Raiders got out to a huge lead, Phillip Rivers with a couple interceptions, and he put up a lot of garbage time points in the fourth quarter to make it look close.
Yeah, tried to get him back in it, just couldn't do it. Well, and they were also without Antonio Gates, who over the last couple weeks has looked like the old Antonio Gates, and they really missed him yesterday, but they couldn't get anything going running the football. Never really had a chance to because they fell behind. And, you know, I'll say it every week. Derek Carr looks like he can play. And
very efficient game for him yesterday.
Had a really nice day, man.
And they were able to run the football effectively, too, which helped him out a lot. And they had the big lead. So
and Amari Cooper is good at sports.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Oof.
Giants beat the Cowboys 27-20. And, boy, this was a very weird game. Some controversial call. But the Giants, if the Giants can't beat the Cowboys without Tony Romo, they were in real trouble.
Yeah.
But they got it done. Darren McFadden with a big day, though.
Darren McFadden did have a big day for the Cowboys. He was about the only one. Matt Castle struggled. Really, nobody in this game had a great day statistically. It was an ugly football game. Eli Manning didn't really get going. You know, the guys who normally get going for the Giants didn't. Reuben Randall had a couple nice-looking grabs. But it was just an ugly game, and, you know, the Giants really needed that win. Cowboys really needed it, too. They just didn't get it. And, you know, as you continue to watch the NFC East, it's becoming more apparent. And, I said this when they were 0-2, that the Giants might be the best team in that division. I think they certainly are the best team in that division now.
I'm not going to rule the Cowboys out when they get Dez Bryant back. I think that'll
help. Is it going to be too late, though?
It may be. I think it's going to be too late when they get Tony Romo back. But and then the Greg Hardy stuff, I thought, was, you know what you get with that guy. I mean, he's basically a child, and he's going to do childish things, and he's going to make you look bad on occasion. And he also can play football. So it's how much are you willing to put up with? And the Cowboys have always put up with sideshows, so I'm not going to be one of those guys say, oh, they should cut him. No, just, you know.
No, the Cowboys shouldn't be cutting good players right now.
No, you need everybody you can get. And, you know, yeah, it's a bad look, but so what? And the Panthers, I'm telling you, man, very, very solid football team that just keeps winning games. And honestly, Cam Newton is a different kind of creature. And the three interceptions weren't good, but he finds ways to win. And with his feet, he makes plays when he needs to. And it wasn't his best game last night, but they got it done.
Yeah, I don't think much of the Panthers offensively at all. I think eventually, when they're undone, that's what's going to do it.
What do they have other than...
They've got Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen's the only player on that team that I'm like, man, I really wish my team had a player like that guy. On the offensive side, anyway.
Jonathan Stewart had a good game.
Yeah, but you don't want that guy on your team.
And you can't count on that.
Nobody's going, man, I really wish I had Jonathan Stewart. Defensively, they've got a ton of guys that you'd love to have on your team. Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly. And Josh Norman is turning into, he's turning into like Richard Sherman. I mean, he's turning into that guy that he's going on your best guy, and you're not going to do anything about it. And... You know, I don't know what Jordan Matthews' problem is, but Jordan Matthews can't catch the football, and he definitely couldn't catch it yesterday with Josh Norman hanging on him. And the receiving core for the Eagles is such a mess. Sam Bradford's a mess. I mean, that team is just in disarray. And you know, I don't know that you need to start, and of course Eagle fans are already fire Chip Kelly, but I don't know if that's the answer, but man, that team is not getting any better, in my opinion.
But you know what? At 3-4, they're still in it.
They're still in it,
and they're gonna beat up on some bad teams coming down the stretch here too, because they've got some on their schedule.
Well, either them or the Cowboys is going to win next week, and
there is that.
You know, that's good.
But one thing, and we were talking about last week about quality of play, and there were so many teams we were talking about defense. Listen. I think the Panthers are playing very good football. They're a defensive team, and sometimes they make other teams look ugly, but that's kind of how the Seahawks win.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was a different conversation from there's bad quality football. That wasn't bad quality. I think the Panthers...
Well, the Eagles look like bad quality football.
The Panthers made them look bad, though, and I think that's...
Yeah.
And the Eagles made themselves look bad even when they beat the Giants last week.
Cam Newton is what he is. He's going to turn the ball over sometimes. He's not the safest guy with the ball, but he also made, you know, on that touchdown run, he does some things that make you go, I see why they keep him around. But I say this all the time. When you have a team that's got a great defense, I want a quarterback who is not going to give the ball to the other team. That has to stop.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, if you're not playing the Eagles...
Especially at the pace that they play at.
Yeah, if you're not playing the Eagles, you probably don't win that game yesterday. So you can't throw the ball to the other team three times and continue to win. You just can't.
No, but you know what? He's been a lot better about that this year, and that's one of the things that... he does other stuff. It's unconventional, but I like the way he's playing.
And Ted Ginn, that dude was drafted in 2007. This might be the first time he's looked like he's been worth a draft pick. In his career, like Ted Ginn's actually playing pretty well.
Yeah,
I mean it's because he has to, but he's doing it.
All right, that's it. That's all the games.
That's it.
And we talked about tonight's game, and I would not touch it at 10. That's just silly. But I did bet it at 8, but I don't like my chances. I'd almost bet the Ravens just because I'm that cold right now. But it's going to turn around.
I just want them to score a lot of points.
Brandon says UH opens at 11.5. Vanderbilt may finish as the worst team in the SEC, but their defense is completely legit and will present a big challenge for the Cougars.
And that
it'll be a tough cover.
I have a feeling it's going to be a very sterile home field environment on Halloween night.
Oh, I don't think so. Those people are going to be drunk. Are you kidding me?
I don't think that many people are going to go to the game.
I think they're already pretty close to sold out from what I heard. So. Yeah, it's I'm done with trying to say Cougars aren't going to cover, because UCF played about as well as it possibly could for 28 minutes
for a while
of
the
first half, and then they go from being down to up 31-10 in the blink of an eye. I think it's not going to be easy, and yeah, I tend to agree that it might be a tough cover, but I've thought that about every game so far, and pretty much have done the job every game.
Yeah.
All right, very quick break. Come back, we'll get some other college stuff. I know you want to get on Aggie. We'll talk about that and talk about some of the games that happened. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Common college football.
This will be his first attempt this year from over 50 yards. He's 3 of 3 tonight, but those were all inside of 40. From the left hash, 56-yarder, just like last week against Pittsburgh. Kick is blocked! Georgia Tech blocks it! The Jackets pick it up back in the 25, and Austin is returning it down the left sideline. Past the 50, past the 30, inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me!
I've only seen that once in my lifetime. It's great to be a part of it.
Unbelievable.
And when you make the change of quarterback, you didn't go to college.
That's just based on practice and how practice has been going. So we're going to go with whoever we felt was going to give us the best chance to get back in it. And based on practice, that's how that decision was made, just like every other position.
Kyler was not in trouble.
It was just based on practice.
Based on practice, yeah.
Liar.
But these coaches, I'm so sick of them just lying every chance they get. But, of course, that was Kevin Sumlin. Of course, you heard the call of Georgia Tech knocking off Florida State. And I, just a couple quick thoughts. I think Clemson, I might have them number one tomorrow on my rankings.
I texted you that on Saturday.
They went in there and just housed Miami. And that is a very good football team. They're extremely impressive. And I don't think they're the same old Clemson, but Florida State.
Still have that Clemson moment.
But. And it may happen against Florida State because Florida State's still a good team. They just happen to play a bad game and let Georgia Tech hang around in that thing. But I thought Clemson was as impressive as anybody. And Baylor, of course, now without Seth Russell, I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to matter. That's such a system thing. And the kid they've got's a highly regarded recruit. I don't think they're going to miss much of a beat. I really don't. But we'll see.
Texas A&M coming off the Bama loss, which it's, you know, they lost to Bama. There's no shame in that. Not that there's much shame in the Ole Miss loss either, except for it was an embarrassing loss. Like, the way they played was embarrassing.
Yeah, you can't go out and score 3 points with that offense. That's,
I mean,
theoretically.
And you it's the same old stuff. And listen, I thought Kyle Allen was a good quarterback. But he doesn't look very good, and there's clearly something going on there.
He took them out of the game against Alabama.
He's lost them 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
And you've got a 5-star quarterback sitting over there in Kyler Murray, but apparently Kyler Murray cussed out Jake Spavital at the Alabama game, and which, by the way, if I had anything to do with the Aggie program, much less played for him, I would cuss out Jake Spavital too.
Yeah, no kidding.
That thing is just falling apart. And obviously, you know, Kyle Allen has the game that he had against Ole Miss. They wanted to make a move. And instead, they're going to some scrub third-string guy with a mustache instead of the 5-star kid that actually has experience. I don't understand what's happening there. But I think there's a divide in that locker room. I think that there are players who feel like they've been lied to by Kevin Sumlin, and that atmosphere does not seem nearly as loose as it did a couple years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I everyone that was asking me on Saturday if I thought that Kevin Sumlin would get fired, I don't, because And this is, I know people will take this as a slight to Aggie, but I'm just being honest. If you get 9 or 10 wins at Texas A&M, that's success. And
well, you look at the rest of their
Kevin
schedule.
Someone's going to get 9 or 10 wins at A&M.
Yeah, it's almost impossible if they don't get 9. They got South Carolina this week at home. South Carolina's a mess.
They're garbage.
They get Auburn at home. Auburn is
imminently beatable.
They're beatable.
That's the one maybe on their schedule,
yeah,
though.
Western Carolina at Vanderbilt, and then they finish at LSU, which are probably
they're not. They have no chance of winning that.
Yeah, game. But they could very easily finish 10-2 in the SEC.
Yeah, and that's
success.
That's
success, man.
Because look back at what A&M was doing before Kevin Sumlin got there. They damn sure weren't winning 9 or 10 games. That is success. That is what is considered success at A&M. And if you fire that guy, what are you going to get? What are you going to get? Dennis Franchione? I mean, that you could. That's why you got to be careful when you got a guy like this. I mean, you're, and again, I don't want to stir up Aggie fan on social media or whatever, but I'm just saying at College Station, if you win 9 or 10 games, I don't want to say that's as good as it gets, but it's damn near as good as it gets.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's success. If you start going 6-6 every year,
right,
that's
then when you can ask some questions.
Because if you're going 10-2, then one of these years you're actually gonna beat Alabama again, and you'll be the team that can be in the conference in that talk for the conference title. Once out of every 6-7 years, that can happen. But
right.
You'd have to be where you are now to even be able to see that from here.
You just kind of have to be realistic about what your program is. And A&M has not – I mean, you could say that the expectation is a national championship, but when was that expectation put into place? Because it hasn't happened. So, I mean, in your lifetime, it hasn't happened that A&M's been a championship-level team. I really think Kevin Sumlin's – with the exception of what's going on right now, obviously, the players kind of seeming like they're having a revolution there. But I think that Kevin Sumlin's on-field resume right now is pretty decent. I don't think they should be looking to fire that guy, because I think he's getting the most of what you can get at Texas A&M. But I also understand that if you start making promises to players and then backing out on them, apparently that's what they're saying has happened with Kyler Murray. I would ask Kyler Murray, but he blocked me on Twitter a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't.
Because he's a little guy.
But
shame.
But if that is indeed what's happening, then that's setting a bad precedent. But as far as, you know, the wins and losses, even let's say they lose to Auburn. So let's say they lose to Auburn and LSU. They beat
9-3.
They beat South Carolina. They beat West Carolina or whatever the hell that directional school they're playing is, and they beat Vanderbilt. They're 9-4. I mean, that's good. That's good at Texas A&M.
It is. I think you can't call that a failure.
No,
I'm sorry. That's a good season. It's not as good as you'd like. But that's pretty damn good.
You know where 9 wins is a failure? Is at Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, Texas A&M isn't Alabama, though. And you have to accept that.
Well, I mean, it's...
But they do have to, fix that offense, though.
Yeah.
They have to.
But that's... I mean, it's Alabama now that Saban's there. It wasn't Alabama when he wasn't.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that's...
Well, but, I mean, LSU. 9 wins at LSU is a... That's not good.
Well, you know, when Saban before that, they lose 3 or 4
games. 9
wins
at Ohio State isn't success. 9 wins at Texas A&M, that's solid, man. You, like, if you're a fan, an Aggie fan, and this isn't me trolling you, if you're an Aggie fan and you win 9 or 10 games, you should be freaking jacked that you've got a coach who can win you 9 or 10 games at that place. Because when's the last time you had one that was consistently doing that? He's exceeding what the line is drawn at, like what the expectation line is set at.
Well, that's what I always say about these big schools. You have to have the right coach.
Yeah.
And if you have the right coach, you can win at just about any of these things, any of these places. I don't know if he is, but he's taking them to a level they haven't been at.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that continues, especially when you start trying to make promises to kids and not fulfilling them, and then maybe you don't start recruiting as well, and then maybe you're not as competitive.
Right.
Maybe you start falling off to 6-6, and then things fall apart. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll have the dumbass report. There's still a lot of college football that we haven't been able to touch on, including including everybody being right that bet on USC. The game we were asked about the most last week. Say, "Well, is this screwed up?"
Like, I warned the people.
Yeah, all the sharps were on SC. Did you see it went almost to 7 points?
Mm-hmm.
And it wound up paying off for USC. But we'll talk about that a lot tomorrow. There's so many things to get to. We'll have our new top 25 tomorrow. But we'll have the dumbass report coming up next. But first, I got to tell you about Houston Can Cars for Kids. Houston Can Academy is just a great, great place. What they do is they help kids who have dropped out of school work to get their degree. They get them back in school. A lot of these are really good kids that had to drop out to get a job to support their family. And Houston Can Academy gives them a second chance, and they change lives. They're graduating thinkers, and it makes us stronger and better. And you can help. All you have to do, if you've got that project you never finished, you got that car, you got your vehicle sitting out there in the yard, or it's sitting out in the garage, and you haven't done anything with it, well, all you have to do is donate it. Donate it to Houston Can Academies and the Cars for Kids, and they're going to come and tow it. Doesn't matter if you're over in Beaumont or Lake Charles or anywhere in Houston or Pearland, wherever you are, they'll come tow it. They'll also, the other thing they'll do is they'll do the paperwork for you, and guess what? Your donation is tax deductible, doesn't cost you anything, and that money goes to help the Can Academies provide everything these students need to succeed. If they need glasses, if they need transportation, if they're hungry, they even help give them. They'll even give them a warm, wholesome meal. All of those things come from your donation. And if you donate today, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. All you have to do is get rid of that vehicle that's sitting around your yard. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. They're going to get that $50 Visa gift card. They're going to come and take that vehicle, and boom, gone, done. You've done a good thing for some kids to help change their lives. 713-225-4226 or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's 713-225-4226. And remember, right off the car, not the kid. And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Real quickly, a texter asked, would the Can Academy take an old camper trailer that's weathered? Yes. Yes. Pretty much any vehicle that they can clean up and resell, and money goes to the Can Academy, which is a really good thing, man. If you've got something lying around, I can't emphasize enough how much it really helps and how much it helps these kids. It's a very, very cool thing that they do, and happy to endorse them. All right, let's do a dumbass report.
The dumbass report. We've been strong the last couple weeks. This week I wasn't as there weren't as many stories that I was in love with, and it makes me think that we may struggle on Wednesday to have maybe people are just getting smarter? Is that...
No, that's not happening.
Let's start in... Where else?
Florida.
Florida. Married Miami bodybuilders are charged with starving their 3 horses until they were skin and bone. Their lawyer insists the animals, quote, just skipped a meal. The Miami-Dade Agricultural Patrol officers seized the 3 animals on in May. Their hooves, you say hooves or hooves? You know about horses. Hooves?
Hooves.
Hooves. Okay. Their hooves had not been trimmed in 3 years, at least a year, and were very overgrown. Their excuse, and by the way, I'll show you a picture of this horse. It's hard to project the picture.
Horse,
it looks like it's an anorexic horse.
Yeah, that thing's dead.
They said they were too busy to feed the horses, or they let it skip a meal because they were rushed to get to the gym. And apparently that rush lasted forever because these people did not feed this horse. But they were charged. The animals have been seized, and they've been arraigned on Friday. Both of them face the same charges, and could be some serious jail time apparently for abusing horses. That's not a thing that is smiled upon even in Florida. A drunk passenger forced an American Airlines plane to make an emergency landing after threatening flight attendants with finger guns.
That's a not wise, guys.
But is that a thing?
Not you can, wise,
like,
guys.
You go like that. You do finger guns? You make the pistolas?
In the airport?
They land the flight?
Oof. Well, that's like saying bomb on an airplane, I guess.
Well, they don't... You can't even joke about it.
No.
I almost got in trouble once for saying...
Bomb.
That's not funny, John. Not on the radio. He also apparently refused to put on his seatbelt and locked himself into the bathroom. And when they landed, they're not saying why they made this decision, but they decided not to press charges, so he didn't get arrested. I still don't know that making finger guns is that big of a deal. It was a flight from San Jose to Dallas. Yeah, he was not arrested. They declined to say why, but he did appear to be intoxicated. And finally, if you're a drug dealer and the cops are on to you, you know, things are looking bad, like you might get busted, it could be a good idea to throw your drugs out the window, right? When the cops are chasing you?
Probably, just a suggestion.
A bad idea is to throw the drugs out the window right next to a cop car that isn't chasing you.
Dumbass!
Oh, boy. Yeah, that makes them chase you. This guy, Rezwan Hussein, has been busted now. They caught him with 3 million pounds, not like actual weight pounds, but dollar pounds.
Yeah.
Worth of cocaine and heroin. And he's been jailed for 11 years and 6 months. Due to his...
It's that 6 months is going to be the killer.
Yeah, yeah. You 11 years is manageable. You get to that 6 months and it's like, oh, yeah.
You said 300 pounds?
3 million pounds.
That's probably like 5.2 million U.S.?
Nope, it is 4.6.
Damn. Thought I was getting good at this.
You're so bad with your conversion game.
Well, I know. I'm way off.
I don't blame you because
the euro come down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why. See?
Like tremendously over the last year.
Okay. Well, those are pounds, not euros, but still. Anyway. All right. There's still some dumbasses left for
Warren
Report. We'll be fine. We'll get a lot more college football tomorrow. We'll also wrap up tonight's game. I want to thank Jong Lee for doing a great job as always. Thanks, Stanford Route, for coming in, talking a little NFL with us. AJ Hoffman, great job today. No, and I wasn't bad today. C-. It's pretty good for me for a Monday.
It's solid for you, man.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have some fun. Hope you guys enjoy your Monday Night Football. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. Until tomorrow. Stay sports, you bitches.